Hello, and welcome to How the World Begins Again, a feature series about how women artists navigate a life through music in Ireland today. I'm Elizabeth Hilliard, and in this series, I'm meeting composers and sound artists, hearing about their lives, what inspires them, and I'll share some of their work with you. In this episode, Crossing Borders, I'm with three artists. Two of them have moved to Ireland, Catherina Skembri for study and Evangelia Rigaki for a job at Trinity College Dublin. And they're joined by Irish composer Anne Clear, who moved away for studies, but who is back living in Ireland now. I'm someone who has never moved more than 3 miles from where I grew up. So I was keen to discover how that coming and going from Ireland has fed into their music and changed their lives.
Opera is where my heart lies. And it's mainly, you know, not opera as the big opera you have, you know, you expect in a repertory opera piece, but pieces that combine, you know, voice, singing voice, and music.
That was Evangelia Rigaki, a composer originally from Greece, who has been living in Ireland since 2010. And she is head of composition at Trinity College Dublin. The first work of hers I'd heard was her opera Anti-Midas, which she wrote shortly after moving here, and I wanted to know how it had come about.
Yes, that lease was a wonderful opportunity from Arts Council. It was literally a case of making your dreams come true. There was this opportunity for individuals and companies to apply for an opera development and an opera production award. So I was fortunate enough to get both.
You've written quite a few operas here in Ireland, so can you tell me a little bit more about these?
I collaborated with a colleague of mine in the social departments in Trinity, Catherine Conlon, and poet Bill Herbert on a text about a woman concealing pregnancy and the pregnancy crisis files. It was around the time of Appeal, and it was dealing with confessions of women who were hiding their pregnancy. And I tried to make a installation with opera miniatures, if you would like to say them, about that. This was written for Laura Lixenberg and John O'Farrell, the flutist, and my colleague Orla Flanagan and the Mornington Singers. It was performed during research night at Trinity in 2014. And after that, I was fortunate enough to be given the opportunity with the Irish National Opera to do this Hostel Life on the same titled book of Melato Uchiokori, this Hostel Life, on text inspired by direct provision. This was a fantastic book, really haunting book. And I was very happy, you know, she allowed us to use it. This was an installation piece again. It was performed in the crypt of Christ Church Cathedral.
So a lot of your work, really, it's very politically engaged, especially, you know, pretty much as soon as you moved to Ireland, you started engaging with the issues that were happening here. Is it important to you?
It is important. It's not always, I'm not trying to hunt what are the news of the day and respond to that. But I do feel strongly about these matters. I think, you know, all Ireland was feeling strongly about this matter. So I identified and, you know, I couldn't ignore this matter. So I was trying to, through my work, you know, to take a stance into these things. I'm still feeling very strong about direct provision, you know, and this is a matter that needs to be looked and resolved eventually.
It all came from the idea of like, okay, when you're recently graduated, your main concern is, oh, I need to get a job, right? I need to start doing things and I need to start getting paid for it. But most of the time, especially when you're starting, you're not necessarily going to get paid for what you want to do. And I think it's very valuable to have the space in which you're just like, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to make it happen. I don't need someone to tell me, hey, you know, we want you to do this. It's more like, I want to do this. How am I going to make it happen? And that becomes much easier when you have a team of 11 people working together for it.
That's Katharina Skembri, an Italian-Colombian composer. She moved to Ireland 4 years ago to study for a master's in film scoring and is a founder member of Sonic Gate Studios.
Sonic Gate Studios came up as a creative project of many minds, I guess. And we all met in Dublin, actually. That was the place where it all started. We were all studying together. And, well, it was sort of like this beautiful magic moment in which a lot of people from all over the world got to be in the same room for an entire year, just talking about music, just doing music. And I think for all of us, it was like unlike anything we've ever experienced, right? Because when you get to this sort of programs, first of all, they're really intense academically, but there's also a lot of music making. And then when you get to be doing music alongside all these different people coming from, well, they were coming from everywhere. They were coming from Asia, from the States, from South America, from Europe, and all of them with very different backgrounds, then that per se becomes a whole new learning experience, right? We got very close to each other and there was this fantastic synergy in the group. So 11 of us decided that we wanted to do things together.
And is it very much something that as a composer, you feel it's important to work on, to put together units to collaborate?
Yeah, this is probably one of the big moments of change in my life creatively, but also personally, I guess. I guess we grow up with this idea that the composer is a lonely person in a room, right? Working for hours on its own and like there's not a lot of input from outside. Everything is sort of like in your head and you just need to put it out, but it's a solo process. But I feel there's so much value in collaborated thinking and collaborated creating because we're not used to it. So it's a bit off of your comfort zone, but then there's a lot of ideas bouncing and it's this new thing I was not used to. And it just became almost the main thing. Like I love, even when I'm composing something on my own, to just sit down and maybe ring one of them and be like, hey, would you listen to this? How does this sound? Or like, I have this idea, maybe just sit down for coffee or for a pint and talk about it. And then the creative process is just, it feeds from that. It feeds from that creative energy. It feeds from just like communicated with an exterior force and not staying so much in your head. So I think that's so valuable.
you know, it's commonly kind of talked about how so many artists, not just musicians or composers, they have to make it abroad and then they can make it in Ireland, you know, like the typical kind of Joyce, Beckett, so on, you know, that they were appreciated abroad long before they were appreciated in Ireland. So I often do wonder what life would have been like if I hadn't studied abroad, you know, if I hadn't went to France, to IRCAM, and then to Harvard in the US. It's so hard to know. I mean, I guess when you come back and you have those kind of institutions behind you, it does add kind of clout to what you're doing. I can't really deny that. But also, you know, I have to say they're really great places to study, so they should add weight to what you do, because, like, I can say for sure I learned so much in both places.
That's Anne Clear, a composer originally from County Offaly, now teaching on the MPhil in Music and Media Technologies course at Trinity College Dublin, who has been performed by many prestigious ensembles worldwide and was awarded an Ernst van Siemens Award in 2019. I was curious about her perspective as a composer whose work is globally performed and what differences she sees across the world compared to Ireland.
There's certain countries, say like Germany, for example, that, you know, they just have the finance to support and commission so many international artists as well as, say, German artists. And, you know, in Ireland, I think it's very different because there just doesn't seem to be the finance there for both. It's like always this case of keeping the Irish artist's head above water, if even. And like there's very little scope to bring in much international activity, which, you know, I understand the need to prioritize Irish artists for sure, but I feel like it can make us a very insular place as well. And we're not really engaging with the wider music making world.
Anne's work explores the static and sculptural nature of sound. And I was keen to hear how this developed for her, what inspired it, and what drew her to this genre of music.
So I suppose I grew up with an appreciation of music and sound and also making things. Thinking back to my youth, and even now, what I still really enjoy in life is making things. there's a kind of curiosity in it for me that I love to kind of seek out and follow through and learn. I learned to play a lot of instruments growing up because I was never really happy learning anything. I really just wanted to know about as many instruments as I could. And, you know, I had great parents in that, like, they really tried to give me everything they could, even though, you know, I didn't realize how expensive instruments were and everything. You know, I'd get a flute and then I'd want a trumpet and then I'd want a violin. And really, I didn't know it at the time, but I guess I was really interested in being creative with sound, but I didn't really think of that as like composition or creativity. I just thought of it as, I don't know, like just messing around with sound, really.
Thank you. That's AM5, Woven by Anne Clear, performed by Richard Craig, Carol McGonnell and the RTE National Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Gavin Maloney. Before that, we heard Katharina Skembri's Dublin, Moonlit Hands and Broken Street Lamps, performed by cellist Kate Ellis and also made using recordings of the organ in Christchurch Rathgar. This is part of the upcoming album Irish Pipes Through Times, produced by Edo Prado. We also heard part of This Hostel Life by Evangelia Rigaki, created for Irish National Opera, based on stories of Melato Uche Okori, performed by Eimini Ari and Bill Dowdle, with New Dublin Voices, conducted by Bernie Sherlock. Thank you for listening to the fourth episode of How the World Begins Again. In the next one, Classwork, I'll introduce you to two more artists, Gráinne Mulvey and Bernadette Comac, and I'll be meeting up again with Anne Clear, Natalia Bayliss, Claire Fitch and Jennifer Walsh, hearing their thoughts on how class background and educational opportunities shape artistic opportunity.